All right, let's just do it. It's just, it's the news according to me. I almost outdid my own button pushing ability there. Talking too fast. I had to. Good morning. It is Tuesday, November 26th. A few more days here left in November. We have 9 a.m. exactly Eastern Standard Time, and here is the show for you. I should have gone live this morning. If I'd have been in the worldwide headquarters this morning, I probably would have done that, but I am not. I am in the home studio again this morning. Tomorrow morning is the plan to be the big plan. I got the big plan to do the show at the headquarters tomorrow. Possibly Thursday, but I'm not going to be much of a show on Thursday. I have got kind of a theme I think I'm going to try to work on for Thursday, more about giving thanks. But we'll talk about that on Thursday, possibly. So I have a couple things to talk about today. Not really anything on the agenda. I really don't know what I'm going to talk about. Just been kind of awash in all the things that are happening. I have in my cup some chai, vanilla chai, of course, my blend of vanilla and Pacific chai. Pacific Island. See, what is it? What was it? The other? Oh, big train. I have sweet tea in my other cup from a restaurant. Actually, I went to Texas Roadhouse last night, and I almost always get the salmon there. I like their grilled salmon. I did not get the grilled salmon last night. I got the pulled pork dinner, which I also like there, but I rarely get it. I just decided to get that this time, which I had leftovers. We also got the ribs for the appetizer, which just comes, it's just ribs and fries, which is a kind of a meal in itself. But we got that. So we had the leftover, both of those. And of course, it's got some rolls. But I scored a cup of. By the way, we got the ribs for free because we got our meal and it's appetizer didn't come out yet. We had salad, got a side salad with, as one of my sides. And then of course the pulled pork with the mashed potatoes. And then there were loaded mashed potatoes, of course, cheese and bacon and all that stuff, butter. And we had, no sour cream. No, I didn't put sour cream in it. Then we had these ribs. So I ate all that stuff, had some pulled pork left over. And I don't know where I was going with all that. But anyway, I got to get this tea left over. So we ended up getting the ribs for free because they brought them out after, long after we were practically half done with our meal by the time we got the ribs. And they said, well, we put them in. I'm not sure why they brought them out. So we're just going to give you those. So we got them for free. Winner. So we had that going on. So I ended up with this sweet tea I walked away from. So I brought it here this morning to finish it off. I'm going to be making some homemade sweet tea today that I plan on taking with me for the next week or so. I still don't have my schedule for next month, which is a little bit, it's a little bit concerning because I don't know what's going on next month. I still, here I'm almost into next month and I don't know where my schedule is going to be yet. I thought it was yesterday that they were supposed to have the schedule out, and I guess it's going to be today. So we'll see what happens with that. We have, so here we are. Here we are, just me and you, just you and my one listener out there. You are my one listener today. That's like just, unless you're listening, with your family, then it's just me and your family. Or if you're in an auditorium listening as a group, maybe there's thousands of you listening at the same place. I don't know. Usually it's just me and one other person. That's something that most people don't realize. It's just when you're doing a podcast, a lot of times people are listening to that podcast by themselves. They're just got their headphones in. They're listening to a podcast. And a lot of podcasters talk to people, talk on their podcast as if they're talking to a whole bunch of people at the same time. That's not the experience of the listener. Do you realize that that's not the experience that the person on the other end is? You're talking to an individual. And I know some of my listeners At least I hope they're still listening. And when I'm speaking, I have this picture, this mental image sometimes when I'm talking about things. I know that I'm particularly talking about to a particular person out there or that kind of can relate. And when I'm talking about a subject, I know that that person's probably kind of especially connected to what I'm talking about right now. And so I'm always kind of cognizant, aware of some of those people. And that brings me back to this whole thing, this whole roots of these. There's individuals listening to me out there. It's almost like I'm talking to that individual. So I'm talking to you. You're that individual that I'm talking to you right now. Hi, how's it going? It's just me and you here talking. Me talking to you. You're not talking back because there's no way to do it. That'll be interesting at some point. I'm sure that podcasting, you'll have this way of talking back to the podcaster somehow. I don't know, maybe when we get this mental chip in our heads, this computer chip in our heads, we can have rapid conversations back and forth. I don't know. I'm sure it'll sound something like this in your head. It's going to go. That's kind of like it did in the early internet days. Whatever. That'll be the first version of the neural implant. I guess it's really interesting, this whole neural implant thing. I guess there's a video out there of a guy showing him playing a computer game. This guy, I think he's a quadriplegic. And he's playing this computer game. One of those combat games or something, whatever he's doing. He's doing everything in his brain. And I guess wherever he looks is where the gun, he's able to do all this stuff just by thinking about it. And I guess he's incredibly on this game. He's just amazing because he's able to, you know, if he thinks it's as quick as he can think. He doesn't have to push any buttons or pedals or anything. It just works. So it's amazing to me how they've been able to tap into that and be able to make this happen. And it's, of course, this is part of, you know, Elon Musk's part of his things. And of course, this will be used as a transhuman. I don't think we realize this. This is, you know, it's, you know, initially, of course, it's being used for people who have disorders and problems. It's kind of used as a prosthetic type thing to help people who are minimalized. However, it's going to soon become this thing where people can advance themselves. We're going to have these trans, and if you don't get it, everybody else is going to have it, and you're going to be the subhuman, so to speak. You're going to be the lower class because you didn't accept it. It's just interesting where that's going. Now, who could have saw that coming 2,000 years ago when they were writing the Book of Revelation and talked about it? This whole thing of. And I've heard some interesting things about end time stuff when people will say things. It's our Western culture has this weird. Maybe it's, you know, the Tim LaVey whatever the guy's name was, you know, Left Behind series, all the stuff that happened, based on the literal view of the Westernized culture lens of what they look through to see, you know, this is how we're going to interpret and see how the end times are going to happen. And we've kind of play it out, you know, the movie kind of played it out in modern day, at that time, what we had in modern day ability to think about things. So as technology improves and as things, you know, we start getting a better revelation of what this could possibly be and how this could all unfold. And typically, it's not the way we think because we're looking through the lens of our present day. And so it's kind of a... The conundrum we get into is that we have this, I was thinking about this just the other day. I'm just going to dive right into this. More of the theological stuff. I heard Tucker Carlson the other day made a comment. This kind of triggered something. in my thinking where I went with all this stuff. And what it was this, he said, I think Tucker said something. He's not a theologian. He'll talk about, you know, good and evil in the world. And there's a definitely this and that. And he's kind of a, you know, he's a churchgoer, but he's a, what is he? Episcopalian or whatever he is. I don't know. He's Protestant. I think as far as I know, but he's more of the liturgy type, you know. And I've said this before, so much of our Western culture and most of the Christian church, in fact, most of the denominations out there, and we talk a lot about Reformation, Martin Luther Reformation was a reformation of Catholicism. Now, I've got a little bit of a, and don't take me too far with this, just hear me out a little bit for a minute. I don't know that. No, Jesus didn't come to. I heard a speaker the other day who talked about this. He said, "You know, revival. We always talk about revival. What we really need is reformation." And we talked about Martin Luther and all these things that were going on. And it happened to be the day on the day of the anniversary of Martin Luther pinning his, you know, posting on door book. I think it was called back then. He posted his thesis on a door. He didn't post it on Facebook. He posted it on a door because they didn't have Facebook yet. They, you know, it was still a couple years away, and so they didn't have that. And they he posted this, you know, his thesis or whatever we call it, his thing, on the door of the church or the monastery, whatever it was, building or whatever you call it, seminary, whatever it was. So that, of course, brought up this whole thing, and everybody was, you know, discussing this stuff. And this is the way they did it back then. You just post your thing, and then everybody would discuss. And, of course, his questions kind of stirred the pot, let's just say, to put it mildly. Some people didn't like it. Of course, he's challenging church leaders, and they never like to be challenged. So But the Reformation came of Catholicism. Of course, you had about the same time, you had the Anabaptists and all this other things that were going out there. The reason this was all being the landslide, the thing that happened with this whole thing, was the printing press. And this idea that we were going to, you know, have the Bible, the scriptures, printed in the common language of man of the day. Instead of Latin or whatever, you know, all of a sudden we had these translations, these words being printed in rapid succession by instead of just these guys, these monks in monasteries, you know, just copying stuff over and over and over and over and over. We have a printing press putting the books out there in mass. Now, the Catholic Church claims that the reason they chained the Bible to the pulpit was because it was so valuable that people wanted to steal them. That's why it was chained to the pulpit. Well, then, if you were so concerned about that, then why were you so appalled, talking to the Catholic Church leaders at the time, that people would be out there printing Bibles, making them cheaper so that everybody could have one? Why were you so upset about that? Well, then everybody's going to, you know, everybody's going to be out there, and we need to tell them what to think and how to think about Scripture. We're the ones who are the educated ones. We understand what's going on. The common man can't comprehend these things. We have to have order in the church. It's an order. It's not just a group of crazy Wild West people out there to listen to the educated ones. So we had this problem going on. Now, I don't recall, this is, you know, Jesus never talked about revival. He never mentioned it. In fact, he never talked about Reformation. He didn't talk about reforming, Reformation of the... He didn't have a thesis he posted on the synagogue wall. Did he? He confronted the Pharisees many times. The Pharisees, in terms of theology, if you want to call it his theology, his study of himself, the theology, if you want to call it that, of the day, he would have been 99% Pharisee in terms of what they believed. He was in line with what the Jewish people. He was the fulfillment of what they believed. They just didn't see that. They didn't understand it because they were so corrupted by their religious system. And so he didn't come to bring revival. He didn't come to bring reformation. He came to fulfill. Now, for some reason, we've taken a left turn in the Christian church, and I'm not sure I understand. Well, I understand why, just because of the nature of people. But it seems to me that shouldn't our position as Christians, as followers of Jesus, be to fulfill the faith, to do the work he was doing? Not that we follow the law, but that we're following the one who fulfilled the law. The law doesn't save us, and we don't observe the law. In other words, we don't. But the law is there to show us what is right. It's there to show us our sin. Paul is very clear about that. Rabbi Shaul, Saul, who became Paul. And it's one of those things where, anyway, I'm going down kind of two different bunny trails at the same time here. So as the Christian church, so many times I hear about us, we talk about, you know, revival, we talk about, you know, restoration, reformation. I think we need to be looking a little deeper than that. None of those things aren't bad things. It's not bad for, you know, people to experience this, their flame to be, you know, reignited, for things like that to happen, for their passion to be restored, to return to your first love, all those things. That's all well and good. And you can call that revival. You can call it restoration. You can call it maybe a correction of going off in the wrong direction. You can call it reformation, whatever you want to call it. That's fine. Those things are all, nothing's necessarily bad about that. And you can attend a Catholic church and God can speak to you. You can attend a mega church of all things, an evangelical mega church. You can be in worship with, you know, during the rock music, rock concert, as some would call it. You can be in the middle of that whole thing and God can speak to you. It's not... Those God's bigger than those things. And I hear there's people with ministries on YouTube and every place else that are just out there to criticize other ministries. I don't quite understand that. In fact, I probably should bring up this one. The one, there's a scripture where Jesus, the disciples at one point, they're, you know, moving along, doing their thing. And there's other people talking about him, and they're out preaching Jesus, preaching the gospel, basically. And the disciples said, should we forbid them? Should we forbid them? Forbid them from doing so? He said, no, they're not against us. You know, let them do their thing. They're just not, you know, traveling with us right now. He was very clear about, let's not establish our ministry based on criticizing what they're doing. Let's not spend our time chasing down these people who are... Now, if we're confronted by bad theology, if we're confronted by things you know, in our face kind of thing. Of it's time to speak up and speak the truth. Just have the truth ready to speak when it's time to do so. It's kind of like these people who want to censor everybody. Well, you don't have the right to disinformation. And just freedom of speech doesn't include disinformation, or especially when it comes to our democracy. Oh, yes, it does. And you have the right to correct people with the truth. People can go out there and lie all they want to. It's not against the law to lie. Well, unless you lie to a Fed for some reason. They can lie to us, but we can't lie to them. But anyway, I don't get it. You can tell a mistruth. You can tell a distruth. You can intentionally lie. You can intentionally lie. And that's you're not going to go to jail for that in normal circumstances. But the thing about this is you have the right. Other people have the right to confront you with that lie, with the truth, with other facts, with the proven facts, or with their opinion. And in so many cases, so many of these cases, it's one opinion against another opinion. But the other person's opinion becomes fact. They think that they're the ones that are on the truth. They're the ones with truth. So it's one of those things where it this becomes this very messed up situation, and I don't know how we get past this other than just teaching people more about communication, communicative skills, and the ability to critically think, to be more self-aware, all those things that need to happen, in my opinion, needs to happen in the basic school level of children as they're growing up. And I'm not, whether it's public school or private school, whatever it is, or homeschool. And I, the whole public school thing, by the way, if you look into the history of why we have public school systems, you'll find out that it was basically to make these little automatrons. We can start propagandizing and everything else with kids, early on. that's really what has happened with it. The whole educational system, the whole educational process has become an institution. It's become a industrial complex, if you want to call it that. That's what's I'm writing my long. It's going to be like a 10-page book, but I thought it's going to take me 20 years to write it. This whole thing about the conspiracy and everything else that's going on. That's one of the books I'm trying to write. There's another book that it has nothing to do with any of that. But there's a couple of books I'm trying to write at the same time, and it's just driving me nuts. I got to get working on this stuff. it's just about discipline, being able to sit down for an hour a day and just do some typing. That's all really managed. That's what I need to do. And a book would probably be done by now. I'm going to try to start another podcast to launch that book, to get that book launched. It's just it's a whole thing. But anyway, hopefully, as things kind of settle down here at this year now, finally, after my first 2 years with this company, it's been kind of a lot of turmoil, a lot of craziness. We'll see how it goes. So we have this, that issue. And then one of the things, though, that Tucker Carlson said, I'm going to get back to this. He talked about how, he's not a theologian. He's not this. What really is theology and what really is a theologian? And it's, everybody has their own, every single human being on the earth has a view of who God is. They look through a lens, whether you like it or not, there's things that I say that's like, it's deliberate. There's this deliberate theology that we have, the way we view who God is and the study of who he is. There is this deliberate acceptance of some things that we've been told by other people and this and that. There's also there's a conscious and an unconscious perception that we have. We have this conscious perception where we know we're deliberately looking at certain things a certain way based on certain foundational things that we believe. So we study those things. We look at who God is based on that lens of the things that we deliberately understand and know. And in my opinion, there is an even deeper, bigger and we're not that we're not aware of, unconscious lens, things that shape that lens that we look through and see who God is. And every single human being on the planet, in my opinion, has a different view, has a different, they have their own lens. You can be, you can follow the indoctrination, if you want to call it that, if you or the doctrine, the talk, the instructions, the theories, the theology of other people, and you can say, okay, I agree with that, I agree with that, I agree with that. You can go on and on with that, and at some point, Jesus says, "Who do you say that I am?" And at that moment, you have to decide what lens you're seeing God through. What, you know, who do you say that He is, and who is He to you? And in the midst of that, I think that people, you know, you can have 10,000 people look at a flower. You can have them sit in the same chair or stand in the same place and look at that flower for 5 minutes and give you a description of what they see. Many of them might say the same thing. They might say the color of the flower. They might say the, many of them maybe have a, because they have a different perception of color, they might say something different. They might say, one might say it's yellow, the next one might say it's orange. Or it's pumpernickel or whatever you look, it's pumpkin. It's pumpkin. It looks like pumpkin. Pumpkin colored. What are you going to say? All those things. And they might come up with very similar things that they would say, but others might pick out details. There are details that people will see that other people don't see. And those 10,000 people can look at that same flower from the same place in the same lighting and the same everything, and have different things that they would see in those 5 minutes that they're looking at that thing, that they have different descriptions of that flower. Now, theoretically, and many of them might see that flower, many of them maybe looked at that flower, my mom beat me with a flower like that when I was a kid, so they might have an adverse reaction to that flower. Some of them might say, well, we used to eat those flowers when I was growing up. So their mouth might start watering, they might start getting hungry. Maybe others remember, you know, that they were out playing with puppies in the yard, and that there were those kinds of flowers were out there in the yard, and there was just nothing but butterflies and flowers, and it was just a wonderful, pleasant experience. And they might have a totally different reaction to that flower emotionally. So there's this lens that we look through. Now, the longer you look at it, the longer then you have another 10,000 people who sit in a different place from a different perspective. Maybe they look at it from above or below or a different angle, or in different lighting, or a different time of day, or they look at it closer through a microscope, or they look at it further away, or they see the surroundings. You know, maybe the flower itself has been, you know, planted among other flowers, or planted just in a pot by itself. There's all these different things that the person gets a different perspective of. Different lenses that we can possibly look through, and it's infinite. And guess what? We have an infinite God. So the way everybody sees who He is, they may describe Him differently. They may be to them, you know, He may have a different perspective. And in the end, God is still the same. God is never ending, never changing. Now, I kind of have this belief. I'm not sure that this is, there's no particular scripture, but I think it's a scriptural principle that I believe that heaven is going to be this place where there is this continual, never ending revelation of who God is. He's everlasting, never-ending, unending. It's going to be a constant expansion of who a constantly expanding revelation of who he is. And our minds can't wrap around that. And I think that it's important that we realize that we don't have everything tied up nice in a nice little bow. Got everything, got all figured out. He's put him in a box and tied a bow around it. There he is. This will get him all figured out. No, that's just not the way it works. And the more we know, the more we realize we don't know. It's one of those, I'm not sure who first coined that phrase, but it's very true. You're only scratching the surface, not even if you're even doing that. So just understanding all these things. And I don't know why I went down this road this morning necessarily, but it's just interesting, I think, in terms of philosophically, ideologies, all these things that we have that we think we have nailed down. I think beyond that, there's so much more, I think, that we look through a lens that we just don't. Sometimes we just think we have it all figured out and we don't. So much more that we don't know that we think we know because we know something. Now, all of a sudden, we think we know it all. Only come to find out we don't know anything or very little of what we thought we knew. It's complicated. So we have, I went down that road. A couple other things about politics. One of the things that's going nuts right now with CNN, MSNBC, of course, I forgot all about this. Elon Musk is apparently threatening to buy MSNBC. And it has the leftists on MSNBC just going nuts. They are absolutely going nuts. And I don't know. It's funny to watch. It's hilarious to see what's going on there. We'll just have to see how it all pans out. In the meantime, we have... there's that. Now, of course, Jack Smith. Now, Jack Smith was in charge. He was the quote special counsel who was found to be not a real boy. He was illegitimate. But in the meantime, he kept doing what he was doing. In other words, he was wasting taxpayer dollars. Now, what he's done is I think it was the documents case as well as something else, the January 6th case, I think were the two things he was kind of overseeing, going after. Jack Smith basically is dropping all those things. My understanding is that all these January 6th guys, they are going to be basically let go. Now, there are people who say, oh, they shouldn't be let go. They shouldn't be pardoned. Most of them have served more than enough time. Most of them were charged with trespassing. There are hundreds of them, by the way. Most of them didn't do anything. They just walked in the door. None of them hurt cops. None of them did anything. They just walked in the door and they're arrested for trespassing. And they're in federal prison under like a terrorist type thing where a lot of them haven't been given trial yet. My understanding is most of them are going to be set free or they need to be set free. It's just that if they've served time, if they did something wrong, they've probably served enough time that they've done enough. But many of them are going to be let go. Many of them have been let go already. Drop charges on them already, and now they're going to. Of course, how do you get your life back? Some had kids that have never seen them before. The other side of this whole thing is that they're dropping the Mar-a-Lago charges now. The documents case, the obstruction of justice, or whatever they're trying to pin on him. Different things, just crazy. So dropping that, my understanding was Jack Smith basically dropped those charges without prejudice. In other words, he can return to those charges back once again, once he leaves office again. Well, I got news for you, it ain't going to happen. But they're going to freak out about something else. Every week it's going to be something different. They're already saying, well, this wasn't a landslide. He didn't really win. His victory wasn't that big of a deal. It's really a lot smaller of a victory than what they're trying to play it out to be. That's what the leftists are saying now to us. Now, Adam Schiff, by the way, who was censored in the Congress, in the House, is now, he's ran for Senate. There was a Senate opening in his district, so he ran for Senate. So now he's not going to be censored anymore. So we're not going to hear, now we're going to hear about him again. However, I think that the nation is so tired of these blowhards that they're just going to be, just sit down and shut up. We're just tired of hearing you and your lies and your constant this and that. And we heard nothing but collusion and all this other stuff and the Mueller report. If you can go back to every year that Donald Trump was president, you can find clips of just time after time after time of all these opinionated heads, the people in Congress, the people on MSNBC and CNN and all the people, all the things that they were saying every day. Well, the Mueller report's coming out. He's going to be indicted. He's probably going to serve a lot of time in prison. He's going to be charged with all these things. He's going to serve a lot of time. Now they're saying, well, he should have been like Tubin. If you remember Tubin, the man who was caught perverted on camera during a Zoom call, got fired for a little while, but they hired him back because they can't find anybody else who's such a brilliant legal mind. He's now saying that he should have served a long time in jail that he got him convicted on these charges. He would have been in prison for a long time. They don't know how to handle this. They don't know what to do with this. You hear the American people have overwhelmingly elected this guy. His approval rating is higher now, 18 times higher than it was when he got elected the first time. And they're freaking out. Their major platform, which was pathetic, was MSNBC. Now, these people aren't going to go away. Rachel Maddow, I think, had to take a $5 million a year pay cut, which was only about 10%, just to give you an idea, to do a once-a-week show. She was making $200,000 a day, whatever it was she was making. She only did a once-a-week show. And so she was at this point. So it's like, was it $5 million an episode or whatever it was? It's ridiculous. To reach not even a million people, typically? What's wrong with this picture? So we'll see how this all pans out. But there seems to be an overwhelming confidence now, I think, that people have, especially Trump supporters. They've come out of the woodwork. You know how people were kind of, they didn't want to talk about it. They didn't want to say anything about it. They were Trump supporters, but they didn't want to be real open about it. And now you've got sports people. You've got all these people doing the Trump dance. You got people wearing the hats, doing the whole thing, wearing the shirts in public all the time. And now the left is upset with that. Well, now they just want to rub it in our faces. Oh, look, these people are such sore winners. No, you just can't get over it. We thought we were the minority. You kept telling us we were the minority for so long, and that we were the fringe. We were the freaks on the left, we were the freaks, and the left was the right. We were wrong, and American people weren't going to put up with this. And come to find out, there's a whole lot more of us than we thought. We're not the minority. And all your bloviating over the last 4 years, 8 years really, has just been a smokescreen. It has been lie after lie after lie after lie after lie. The American people are tired of it. I think they finally soaked into the American people. I think that cogent. He's the most cogent. These are cheap fakes. All the stuff that we have heard, Karine Jean-Claude Pierre, have been saying all these 4 years, 3 years, whatever, because Psaki was in before that, who now then became an MSNBC host as well. All these people have been telling us over the last 4 years, all this stuff from this administration. It's It's crazy. They're all nuts. People finally have woken up to the fact they're actually becoming actually awake, not just woke, but they're now awake to the lies, the craziness, the hysteria, the results of this leftist mentality. In fact, in California, Gavin Newsom is saying he's going to have a sanctuary state. Well, that's illegal as well. So we'll see how Pam Bondi looks at that. Just we're going to see whether the law is prosecuted properly or not. Now, there's a reason we have laws. These people who say, for so long we heard, no one's above the law. No one is above the law, pointing at Donald Trump, of course, not pointing at themselves. No one is above the law.
No one is above the law, according to Hillary Clinton. No one's above the law.
Oh, does that include the people who break the law to come in this country? Are those people above the law? We can't call them illegal aliens. We can't call them lawbreakers for coming into our nation illegally. Are they above the law? I would say not. And if we have laws are there for a reason, by the way.
Well, then we need to change the law.
Okay, well then change the law. But until you change the law, let's enforce the law. Because the law is there for a reason. The biggest reason for that is, well, we can get this whole argument about immigration, but there's something called assimilation. It was even in Scripture. I'm not saying that Scripture says anything about our current situation here with this. All I'm saying is there's something to be said for assimilation for the sojourner. And it's, you know, is it a person who's coming in to assimilate into your country, or is it someone who's coming in to just ravage your country and live their own, you know, bring their country to your country and just live off the benefits? So there's this battle that's going to take place here in the next couple of years. We'll see how this works out. Homan's not pulling any punches on this whole thing. And of course, the left is going nuts over all that. So we're going to see how all this works out. Now, tomorrow morning, I fully intend on having a show from the... I've kind of made up my mind during this podcast. The show tomorrow will be from the worldwide headquarters. Might be live. I'm going to look into a little bit more today. I'm going to spend a little more time looking into the possibility of doing some things on Rumble and possibly having a video show on there, which will have these live broadcasts. Now, of course, doing a video adds to the complexity because I could just be on there and just be a talking head. Or I can actually play some video clips and that kind of thing, do some of those kinds of things, have a little bit more of that kind of, but then that limits the people who are just listening. They can't see the clips, so I have to make sure I'm balancing that out with, you know, what are we doing here with these clips? Anyway, God bless, folks. Have a great Thanksgiving. If I talk to you, I'll see you tomorrow morning. See ya!